Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News. It is Wednesday. I am Paul Machen. This is Ross Chanley. And the show today is brought to you in association with The Athletic. You can get a fantastic discount, 50% off your yearly subscription fee by using theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. No pop-ups, no hassles in that regard, just nothing but fantastic writing in a very clean, user-friendly environment, whether it's on web or on their app. As well, we're going to draw your attention to something here. Rafa Benitez has been talking. He's written an article about Liverpool. Obviously, they say Liverpool have got now financial muscle. Maybe the great title obsession will finally end. Some interesting stuff from Rafa, because it's not just it's obviously not like a lot of the stuff we pull in on these shows, Ross, is it's got a couple of odd lines here and there from people, but there's some really just, he talks about what Liverpool was like when he walked into the club and the obsession with the league title and the obsession with the European Cup, etc., and how people still in China come to him and talk to him about it. But there's one quote I'm just going to pull out here. Are Liverpool doing well? Yes. Do they have a great team and a great manager? Yes. Can they win the title? Yes, of course. Am I happy with that? Yes, obviously. My family still live in the area. We have a big connection with the people of Merseyside and like the city. I'd like to see the city proud and growing. Why can they win it? Because they've done things right for the last few years and now they have the resources to back that up. Big difference. Typical of Rafa to get also a very sly dig in about resources being available, like you mean, which is prime Rafa Benitez. There's loads more to this article, of course, and I highly advise you going and check it out on the Athletic website. But look, Rafa Benitez knows his stuff, and look, he's dead right.
Yeah, it's all the things that he kind of had. He keeps bringing it back to his time in the club, but I think it's a decent comparison in terms of the resources, but also the competitiveness. We talk about clubs going in cycles. I think Liverpool, obviously, when he was in charge, we were pushing for a Premier League title. Obviously, they won the Champions League, and we're in that position again. But you know, when he talks about resources, when he compares it to other teams, so like he had £20 million to spend, whereas Man United was double that, and he goes on to say that the risks of the players that he can go out and get is far more significant than that. They would compete with Manchester City, who were coming through the ranks, Chelsea at the time as well. Whereas now Liverpool are not only in a strong position because of what they've done, but for other teams around them. So it was only literally City that are comparable with Liverpool at the minute, because everyone else has dropped off. Liverpool sees an opportunity. And we're able to attract all these players because we're keeping up this cycle of playing top-level football, winning the Champions League and kind of going again and taking those players that would have gone to a Manchester United, Manchester City before and all coming to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because we're getting things right outside.
Absolutely. A really interesting insight again, just to talk about Rafa's time at the club and things that he's maybe not necessarily talked about, because he's now doing it from the context of, you know, what the club was like, and how we can look back at it with a degree of, like, you know, time and space, which I don't think he's truly been able to do prior to now. And obviously he talks a little bit about what that means for the current Liverpool. So yeah, very, very fascinating read. Look, the big news stories we'll come to in a moment, obviously, is the Carabao Cup, which I keep getting wrong, and the Club World Cup Championship edition.
Not the Capital One Cup,
Street Fighter 2. No, none of those things. Before we do, Michael Owen said some shit. The Express report on this is why Michael Owen has doubts over Oxlade-Chamberlain's future at Liverpool, which is just creating scandal for scandal's sake, if we're being perfectly honest. The quotes from Michael Owen are basically, Liverpool's midfield are very, very efficient. We've used that word quite a bit tonight, talking last night after the game. They're efficient midfield. None of them really are similar to Oxlade-Chamberlain. He can come on and change things, but what he then alludes to is that, does Oxlade-Chamberlain start in games, start to unbalance the Liverpool midfield? And look, Michael Owen isn't saying anything there that we haven't had conversations about, in that I think people have this notion that this is Liverpool's side. People have finally got to grips with an understanding of how Klopp's Liverpool. It's all about the fullbacks. It's about having a combative midfield who do all the running. They do, you know, they three men do the job of four, etc., etc. And it allows the platform for the wing back, the fullback slash wing backs, and the front three to do all the good work. However,
what happens when you're playing three games a week?
Yes.
What happens when you're playing a low box side?
Yes.
What happens when your fullbacks are injured or tired, or you need an extra option in midfield? Therefore, you just get rid of Oxley Chamberlain, do you?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm not even sure it's Michael Owen's really saying anything bad. I just, you know, this is not as if he's extolling the virtues of what him and Crouch both extolling the virtues of him, and the Express have decided to basically. Owen's. I've said these things. I think we've also, because again, we can't see past what Liverpool are right now. And I said it before. We saw it against Genk away. We saw Fabinho, Keita, and Oxlade-Chamberlain starting a midfield three. And look, again, I wouldn't say it was the most controlled midfield performance. It was the first time the midfield three that we effectively bought in. The first time we've truly seen them all playing together. You know, that was because of Oxlade-Chamberlain's injury. We've never been able to see those lads play together. You could find. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But look, we might get to a position where that is Liverpool's best midfield.
I think the question is, the word that he's used is playing permanently. And what's permanently in this Liverpool side? Because, Well, permanently he could start two games in 1 week, come as a substitute as another. Yeah. You know, you've got to think about the rotation of that midfield as well. We do all the groundwork, but you know, we've already had a conversation doing the build-up with Manchester City. Debating whether he gets in there or not. You can make cases for both.
I think, it's one of those, Liverpool's best midfield 2 years ago had Oxlade-Chamberlain in it. It didn't have Fabinho in it, of course, at the time. So, but that's the point. Jordan Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum, I think, are clinging on. Not when I say clinging on, I don't mean like because the crap. Is that the stuff that Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain can do that they can't.
Yeah.
And I just if Ox and Keita step up a level, I think I agree with what Michael Owen's saying right now. He's actually right, as much as the Express have tried to throw him under the bus. But in the future, that might well change.
If you think about those games where we lost the league last season, of those draws, I wouldn't say we're crying out for that, obviously, team with Navigators.
100%. So it's bollocks. We do know now that the date for the Carabao Cup clash against Aston Villa has been decided, and it will be played on the Tuesday the 17th of December, which, for those of you, the uninitiated, who haven't heard this thus far, is the day before our first game in the Club World Championship. Now, that's that. We're going to have a look at the fixtures in a moment, but Jürgen Klopp has reacted to this post-match, and this is really, really interesting stuff. We've done a special on this, which is it's being edited right now. It's going to be over on the main Red Men YouTube channel, about 15-odd minutes, just talking through the repercussions and our thoughts and what kind of sides we feel could Liverpool can put out in these two competitions, because it's been made clear that they're going to have two separate squads. That's how they're going to handle it. Obviously, you're not going to play the same team twice in 2 days. But Klopp's been asked, and I love his forthrightness on this, because I think we're overlooking this, but he says that we can't carry on like this. We have to find solutions. The problems are obvious. Every year we do the same again. Some find it funny, 5 games in 3 days. Let's see how it works out. But it, as mentioned here on the BBC website, from the 23rd of November to the 2nd of January, Liverpool faced a testing period of 12 games in 37 days in 4 competitions, Premier League, Champions League, EFL Cup and Club World Cup, with an FA Cup third round to be determined in the first week of 2020 as well. Klopp had ruled out the possibility of fielding two different Liverpool sides in two competitions in two continents originally, but now the club statement on Tuesday said that it was not an ideal scenario. The outcome was reaching the best interests of the competition. And Klopp's reacted, because obviously he says the Carabao Cup makes it sound like we don't want to play in it. So that's not true, but I don't understand 2 games in the semi-final. I don't like that in a busy period. You only play in the Club World Cup if you win the Champions League, and that doesn't happen in your life 5 million times, so you take that opportunity. Is it the best time of year? Nope. We'll go there, we'll try and play all the games with all that we have. I think Klopp's got the right attitude on this. It's not Liverpool's fault that this is the way it is. And there might be some football purists who are like, well, the League Cup is a proper cup competition. My take on this, Ross, is the Club World Cup is exactly, you get into it by winning the Champions League. It's not as famous, it's not as storied, it's not as in your face, because it's not played domestically in front of you. Liverpool have won the League Cup more times than anyone else. Winning the Super Cup is important, And for me, winning the Club World Cup is important because it establishes you as the best. It's the best club side in the world.
It's not a comparison for me, even being completely honest. I think you just said there. Plus the gold badges that you get on top of it. Even down to things like the monetary value behind it. So like Liverpool earn more money from YouTube revenue than they will do for getting through this round of the Carabao Cup, which is just daft. it's stupid. So what's the incentive? It's excellent for the youth players getting a chance to go and play in it. But Liverpool shouldn't be forced to prioritise, and they've been forced to prioritise for being successful, in my opinion. You said, oh, winning the Champions League, doing that, getting through to the next round of the Carabao Cup, being forced to go and do that when they could easily move the games in January a little bit further back isn't right.
But that all knocks the whole thing on. That's the problem, doesn't it?
And the other thing is, I know this will happen, but he's not just moaning about Liverpool. He said this after the Aston Villa game of the Premier League in general. Or English football in general, of like just cramming games together for the sake of mainstream media getting more money or whatever it is, just cramming those games in when it's beneficial for players to have bigger gaps or whatever.
Well, he said to Chris in the summer, you know, if we had and not only saying this is what we should have, but he said if we had an NFL length season, and albeit NFL cram loads of games, more, you know, all the games into a much shorter space of time. And American sports tend to do that. The seasons last for shorter amount of months, but they play like three games back to back. Yeah. But they rotate a bit more. What are you saying? Is the more, if you had like 6 months of coaching time, you would be able to do much more with what you've got.
Yeah, spot as well,
yeah, exactly. But just to follow up on his points on this, he says you cannot wait. So if you have an FA Cup replay, which I don't like, and go through to the Carabao Cup final, we had a situation like this a few years ago. We played at West Ham and everyone was in front of the TV watching the FA Cup and hoping we do not go through because of fixture congestion. You cannot work like this, where we hope that somebody will go out and everything will be fine. That's the brilliant point. He says, we tried to ignore this time with Arsenal, but the boys just wanted to play football. I don't want to cancel competitions. I'm from Germany. Why would I want to cancel English competitions? We cannot carry on like this. We have to sit down at the table at one point, find solutions. The solutions so far are more problems. And that's the point. They are hoping. They have to hope that Liverpool go out because they're having to fix. They're going to have to move stuff around because of Liverpool ultimately in this world. Or Liverpool say we're not playing in the competition because it's too much. It's a genuinely crazy situation. It comes down to it. The Carabao Cup, they need to scrap the two-legged semis. They've already gotten rid of replays and all that kind of stuff. Over the years, they've gotten rid of these two-legged stuff. It's been shortened down, so it's only the semis now. And I think part of it was like to make it different from the FA Cup. It was all two-legged, or at least a much bigger section of it was when I was a kid. I enjoyed it because it was different. It was a different cup competition, but football's moved on. Players play far too many games of footy now. And
It does
come down to money, but it also comes down to, again, a lack of understanding on the part of fans and the cost to fans of this whole experience and the physical toll that it's going to take on footballers, because they're going to move this Club World Cup to post-season from next season as well. They're going to be moving the World Cup in Qatar to the winter. It's bollocks. Everything needs a massive rethink, and it might mean, you know, some drastic measures. But that, you know, it's an unsustainable future.
But if FIFA are getting paid millions to have them in these locations, then they're not going to change that.
Absolutely. Quickly, let's have a look at the fixtures then. So December now lines up like this. Wednesday the 4th, we're going to be playing Everton. Saturday the 7th, we're playing Bournemouth away. So Everton at home, Bournemouth away. Tuesday the 10th of December is Salzburg away from home in the Champions League. Saturday the 14th, Watford at home. Now the Aston Villa game will take place from the Saturday on the 17th, Tuesday the 17th, with the first game, which is going to be against Monterrey or Al Sadd, I believe, in the Club World Cup, is Wednesday the 18th. Then you've got Saturday the 21st is either the final or the third place playoff of that competition. And then you play Leicester City on Boxing Day, so 5 days later on Boxing Day. And then you've got Wolves 3 days later. At home on Sunday the 29th, and then you get into January where you've got just Thursday the 2nd against Sheffield United at home, and then you've obviously got an FA Cup game to be scheduled between that and the Spurs game away from home on the 11th. mad. We thought last season was mad.
Carabao Cup games as well.
And potentially, which won't happen because we're going to put a team of kids on. They're probably going to get absolutely annihilated.
I'll have to get a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime for December. There, didn't realise it. The Everton game was on there as well.
Did you not know that? Like, yeah, yeah. If Amazon Prime want to pay us for that free plug that Ross has just given them, then by all means, let them. But other than that, yes. Just one last bit of news to wrap up. Another nice piece of news. Sean Coxon's family are going to be attending the Liverpool Man City game on Sunday, courtesy of LFC. Another wonderful move, of course. And I like the continued support that the club has given for Sean. And once again, as always, everyone from here at Redmen TV wishes Sean a continuedly and expedited recovery from the terrible injuries that he suffered in that game against Roma. Which is ridiculous that we live in a world where that could happen, but so be it. Two things quickly, we're going to get your comments on everything that we've discussed. If you're watching this live on YouTube right now, go over and click that subscribe button. We're on 24.3k subscribers. It's been a good old week for subscriber totals, 395 on the main Redmen channel. I got 100k, which I'm buzzing with, and let's fly the Redmen news subscriptions up as well. So do that. Tom, what are the comments you pulled together so far?
So if you want Oxlade-Chamberlain to kick it off, Tani Sogian says, Ox is an amazing player. We need his skills with his long shots from outside the box, like what he did in the Man City games. And then Ghost says, Ox is class at times, but needs to be playing in the big games again.
That's the thing, is that Man City would be a big marker for Oxlade's return. I think there's games where you might find that there's just games where you play against teams that are going to sit in, defend deep, and you do need that lad who's got the ability to score from outside the box. Lad who's close control in the final 40 yards of the pitch is better. That's what you need in them games. So you might look, Michael Owen in some regards, Ross, might be right, but I also think that when you come up against the best teams, it's a tough balancing act because you want all your most attacking players, your most skillful players on the pitch, because you want to be able to go toe-to-toe with these lads as well. So be a big game for him if he starts this weekend.
I'm at the point where I'm happy with either, to be honest with you. I think you've got options in both. I think you're always more reserved when you play Manchester City, the fact that you want to be a bit more defensively set up. But when you're at Anfield, are we at a point now where if you play Chamberlain, do Manchester City second guess how they play and how they set up? They might be prepared for that, but they might fully expect it. What we touched on before of going, attacking fullbacks, dogged midfield, and we can work our way around that. Whereas you chuck out Chamberlain into the mix and you go,
I think
play four people up front and we've got a shit defence.
Yeah, I think they'll prepare for it, but I don't think they will expect them to start, which could be an interesting thing. The build-up show actually will be out there. We've just recorded that. I think that's it tomorrow. We've got that going out, something like that. It's good. It's a belt of a show. Stay tuned for that on the main channel. Tom, give us one more comment, because if you've got something on the Club World Cup, that would be that'd be more.
I'll read that a few, but. They're on the same topic. Folded Toast says, I think we should just pull out the cup. There's too many games. Stephen Saw says, which game will Klopp be at is the question. And then Dan the Man says, the Champions League results yesterday were huge. We just need to simply be Anfield at home, clinch the group, and then we can basically eliminate the fixture at Salzburg.
Yeah, then beating Napoli at home would be massive in that. Klopp will be at the Club World Cup because he rates it. And, who takes charge of the Villa games? Most interesting. You were talking before when there's talk of it being, is it Inglethorpe? It could be, Critchley. It could be Lutus. There's options there. It could be Linders, as well. It could be Rafa. He'd be bang up for it. He'd be desperate to do it. So it's a very that is an interesting one. I think the priority will be the Club World Cup in this one. The good thing about this, and why I wouldn't pull out of this, is there's a potential there to give game time, essential game time, because as much as I don't think it would be great for development for a team of Liverpool kids to get smacked everywhere by Villa, like an embarrassing, put a cricket score past us because we've just got this horrendous team of kids who aren't experienced enough. The learning curve of even in defeat for the likes of a Curtis Jones and for a Nico Williams and a Sepp Vandenberg, etc., we won't see it immediately, because that'll probably be the last we'll see this season in senior games of most of these lads. But it could pay dividends in their careers down the line.
Invaluable experience for those guys. Even going to go and play at Villa Park, a massive, renowned, historic stadium, and gain that experience. If you lose, learn from it. If you win, learn from it and keep your heads grounded. There's also probably a shout for, depending on where he's up to, of having a Shaqiri in there. Mm-hmm. Or other fringe players of just having some games. I don't think he won't be the same as Arsenal, obviously, because we need to take loads of them. Like, it's a good with us, but the shouts for other people to come get a good run out.
Absolutely. Tom, you got one more?
Yeah, just very quickly, Ben Pryor just gave us a super chat. Thank you. He says, congratulations on the 100K subscribers, Paul.
Oh, thanks very much. And yeah, look, if you've not subscribed to my channel, do it. Oh, don't, I'm not asked. But yeah, Ross, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for your comments, for watching, for listening, and of course for subscribing to the YouTube channel as well. We'll be back with more Red Men news tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned. Click that notification bell. And thank you very much to theathletic.co.uk. Remember, you can use /RedMenNews to get 50% off your yearly subscription fee.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.